You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
Hello, it's your boy, Eric and
Tamika.
How you doing? Sorry that we just have some minor difficulties, but bear with us. How's everybody doing today? Let us pray. Father, Heaven, Lord God, we tell you, thank you, God. We give you glory, honor, and praise because you are an awesome God.
Yes,
Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. God, we ask that you just have your way. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse and wash us of all iniquity by our thoughts and deeds. Create, oh God, in us a clean heart, renewing us the right spirit. Father, we ask that you have your way. Remove all anxieties, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. All distractions, Lord. God, we ask that you just have your way, Father, because someone is in need to hear from you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we tell you thank you. We say this prayer in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Ah, how you doing? Go ahead, honey. Say something.
Hey, guys. How's everybody? Guess what? I'm excited about the sun being out. I know we lost, what was that, 1 hour? But, oh, man. I am so excited about the sun being out and shining. Today, we are going to talk about selfishness. And I was trying
to make 100.
Post this on my page because we are living from Eric's page on today. And so, it's not allowing me to do it. So, let's go ahead and get started.
Some everything is taking place.
Right. It's so, okay.
Try it again, babe. It's all right. You got it. We're going to believe Jesus. Is that all right? Come on. Pray with me right now. Lord, have thine own way. Hallelujah. And so, but without further ado, ain't that how you say it?
Without further ado,
we're just going to go ahead and roll with this. So we're going to talk about selfishness. As you see, I do not have my tablet, so I'm going to be rattling some things off.
Do you need that?
Yeah, I actually do.
y'all bear with us on today. Hold on.
But we just talking about, what we're talking about? About selfish.
Tablet.
For what were you about to do?
I thought you needed your thing.
No, it's already up and rolling. I'm cool.
Okay.
Sweet. I'm cool. You got yours going?
No.
Okay. So you want your tablet then?
Yeah, I was going to get it going so that you could get your tablet.
So, I promise you, we're just going to go ahead and dive right on in. So, I pray everybody's having a great Sunday. We had an awesome time in the Lord this morning. And it was so funny because, you know, we were just talking about selfishness and being selfish. And so, I began to think about that thing. You know, when you are a couple, the majority of a lot of our disagreements come from a selfish motive. Would you agree?
Yes.
I don't even think she heard my question.
You said, as married couple, most of our motives come from being selfish.
Most of our disagreements.
Our disagreements. They come from us being selfish. I heard you, Bishop.
So, what would you say to that? Because you look at it. How you got, because you got some that think about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. What vengeance is mine, and I'm gonna repay. We ain't gonna let the Lord do it. So I'm really trying to fill these gaps until everything kind of cools down around here.
We'll go ahead, roll with it.
Okay.
Really? Yeah, okay. You got to turn it so it won't be sideways.
So
go ahead.
So we're gonna talk about selfishness. And I looked at it because it was so funny because we had a selfish moment this week. You remember?
What was that?
Oh, see, never mind. She's still concentrating on this stuff. So, okay, I'm like, I need my tablet now. I'm sorry. I have got to get my tablet.
Give me a second, Lord. What was the selfish moment this week? What was the selfish moment this week?
So, what had happened was, and see, this is where you got to allow, this is where you have to allow who you are, I guess, or what you all have to determine on who, I guess, you know, who's doing what. So, my son came home for his spring break, which we were so happy to see him, but he, you know, he had some issues going on with his car. And so I was like, okay. Oh, now you remember.
Now I remember.
And so, you know, he had some issues going on with his car. So we thank God that he made it here safely. But it was, see, that's too high. So, but anywho, it was to the fact of.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second.
Uh-oh. Are we trying to switch stuff around? Oh, Pastor Larry Sales is on. Lord, look at here. Pastor Hopewell in the house.
Oh, man.
She's still trying. So I'm going to sit right here and have me a close up. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? And so my son came home for spring break. Man, I'm just saying, don't even worry about it.
Give me a sec.
Okay. Well, anyway, my son came home for spring break. And so he needed some work to be done to the car. And so at this time, you know, she was able to get the car checked down and stuff like that. I wasn't able to, but at the same time, I had, you know, this is what I normally do. I normally take care of the vehicles, make sure everything is running and everything looking nice and pretty. But lo and behold, you know, I'm on the phone with her. And I'm saying to her, I say, hey, ask him because, you know, she's with the person. The person you got to talk to, the customer service person. And so I asked her, I said, hey, ask him this list of questions. And so she'll ask him one, how much? I say, wait a minute, that's not what I'm saying. I was like, no. Yeah, I need to know one, how much of it is parts, how much of it is labor. Why? Because I could probably beat that price, right? We know that as men or as people that work on vehicles or understand vehicles. But she thought upon herself thinking, oh, it's fine. I can just go ahead and do what I want. I understand. All I need to know is how much. I'm like, no. So I was like, you know what? Then it went into a whole, it boiled into a whole nother thing because all of just not asking one question. And I said, you know what? I said, we're just going to sit back and I'm just going to chill because.
I can't find
what's the matter?
I can't find the adapter.
Huh, just use this, babe. It's fine. It's okay. Not, that's the end of my close up. We're going to push it on back. I'm sorry. Once all this stuff get done, we'll be all right. Sorry for all that. Pull it down. I can't see. There we be. There we almost go. Good job. What's the problem?
Nothing. Go ahead.
And so, where did I leave off at?
What you not telling?
What you talking about?
What you not telling?
So, what you doing?
Go ahead.
Oh. So, what happened was, I said, hey, ask him how much does it cost, how much is in labor, and how much is in parts. And so, she didn't want to say that. So, I was like, okay, wait a minute, now we got a problem. No, she asked how much it was going to cost. And then she did ask how much it was in labor. And so, then I was like, okay, ask how much, what was it? It was one, I said, I forgot the question. That's how bad it was. And so...
How much was in parts? How much was in labor? And then... How much was in parts? How much was in labor? What else was it? I don't remember.
Oh. Okay. And so, and there was another question. But the other question was very key. But to her, she didn't think it was very key.
We can't remember the other question.
It was very key. It was very key to the situation. But for some odd reason, she didn't want to ask that question. And so I'm like, listen. All right, listen. And then, so what I did, well, after we got off the phone, I just called him back myself and said, hey, okay. And I asked all my questions that I needed to ask that she didn't ask. And so, and she was like, I hate it when you undercut me. I said, no. I said, well, if you feel that way, I apologize.
Did you tell them that you called after I got off the phone?
That's what I just said. Oh, okay. I told you you weren't listening.
Okay,
I told you.
Okay.
And so, she was like, I hate it when you undercut me. I'm like, well, I needed to know these things so that we can see if we can go ahead, if we can go ahead and fix the car. But to her, because it did not add up to, I guess, common sense wise, it was like, whatever. I'm not even bothered about it. So then it turned into something else. And I'm like, come on. All it was if we would take the moment and be like, you know what? Let me just ask, because you normally deal with these. I don't understand the purpose of the question, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. That's not what took place. And so from it, it was like my son, I had to text my son. It was like, son, it's not your fault. Because we got into a disagreement. It was like, I don't know if you all are arguing or what. I said, we're just having a disagreeing moment, because it was, did you, just because you didn't understand the need of the question, does that mean that you don't ask the question? No, because it was not clear to you. So that was a selfish act which turned into something else. And so when you look at your marriage, a lot of us, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, it's 50-50. I'm gonna tell you right now,
it's not 50-50.
It is not 50-50. So when you're looking at your marriage, if it was really, right, just take a look. If it was really 50-50, does that mean that means I wear these clothes half the time? I know that sounds silly, right? Nah. Because that's all hers. Do she wear my clothes 50% of the time? No. Uh-uh. So who do 50% of the cooking? You? Who do 50% of the
cleaning?
Of the cleaning? You? Oh, okay, that's great. Who do 50% of the whatever of washing the cars? Who do 50% of cutting grass? Anybody do 50% of picking up the clippings? No. Nope. So what I'm saying is that marriage is not 50-50. Because one day it can be straight 99% on one end and 1% on the other. And then it can turn around in the very next minute and be 98% on the other end and only 2% on the other. And so we can't be so closed-minded until we are being selfish, because it's just what I do, it's just what I like, this is just what it is. And so we can't be so closed-minded to where we don't understand that, hey, this is something, this, because my wife, this is her expertise, then this is what I'm going to lean towards. Not just because of, hey, it don't make sense to me, I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead.
I didn't have anything else. I'm monitoring, I'm sorry, to Facebook.
Because now we up and running.
Now we are like back in the groove, so yes.
So
but it's
ahead.
Not 50-50. For sure it's not 50-50. And a lot of people will tell you that it's 50-50, but like Eric just said, it fluctuates. And it's important to understand the fluctuation, and it's okay. It's okay for you to be able to have a fluctuation, and for you to be able to step back and for you to be able to know your differences. I know that was something that we talked about last month. We hit on just briefly, to be able to know who's strong at one point, who's strong at another point, and how to be able to bridge those together so that you all can work together. So it can be a partnership. So it can be a team, and that you all can build your marriage from that particular standpoint.
Right. Right. Okay, sorry, my bad. And so that's the thing, because y'all understand, when you're talking about longevity and when you're talking about long life with one another, these are things that you're going to always run into. Because when you learn how to be like, okay, listen, because, you know, like for me personally, it's bike season now. You know, I want to ride. Hey, listen, we have been cooped up for too long. It's trying to pull the throttle, you hear me? But it is like, okay, now, God, I understand, yes, me riding a bike, it can be very selfish. But it's like, what makes me selfless before I take that time to have my me time on my bike, right? So what is it? It's like funny. It's so funny because she was like, you know, honey, just as long as you take care of, as long as the house is taken care of or the family's taken care of, then it's fine. I know what you're saying. It's like, oh, well, you don't take care of these. No, sometimes I just, hey, it's nice. I jump in the bike and I just go. So, but what is that? Then that's being selfish. So then when I come back from a nice ride, and then I got to deal with what I did not take care of before I left, when you have already established an agreement.
Right.
And so that's when you allowing your selfishness, your motives to come into play, then you're not really thinking of the other, you're not really thinking of the other individual or your spouse. And right. So that's the thing, when your selfish motive jumps in front of how the other person may feel, act, or do.
No, that's good. I was going to say, and one of the things that, if we're taking it back to the scripture references, Zechariah 7:6, it says, and when ye eat and when ye drink, do not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter?
No, go ahead. You good?
I was going to say, and so that's something that's really important in that marriage situation. So
right.
As bike season is coming around, and I know it's coming around, so I don't need to act like I don't know that it's getting warm and it's coming around, because
yeah,
he's going to want to go, and he's going to want to,
you hear
you
me,
know,
Darnell? You hear me?
He's going to want to go. He's going to want to, you know, get on his bike. But then there are some times where, again, as long as the house is taken care of, I'm good. As long as things around the, you know, I'm not the only person in the house doing certain things. I'm not the only person worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, how we're going to take care of this, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. Basically, not me just and myself worrying about that stuff and it's taken care of because it's a partnership and we've linked up and we've agreed to take care of
right.
those responsibilities.
Right.
Then
right.
I'm cool. And
right.
it's not going to be no drama. It's not going to be no mess, just because that's something that we are establishing together to say, hey, listen, hey, babes, you know, bike season is coming around. What can I do? Or I might just be like, babes, don't worry about it. Go ahead and ride. You hadn't, because he didn't ride a lot last season.
I was being selfless. I was being selfless. I did not ride a lot, but I plan on riding this year. Praise the Lord. Hey, wave your hand at me if you hear me.
So that's, you know, something good. And then if you want to take it even a step further from what it, like finances, like anything that you do, if you're trying to, what is a good example? Let's see, if it's with finances,
so
being able to build on the finances, having the same, like, because we're different. We want to make sure that our different goals and our different ambitions, that we sit down, we talk together, that we discuss that, so that as we're moving forward in those ambitions and in
right.
those goals, that for me, for example, I'm big on business. I'm big on being strategic. I'm big on attending conferences. I'm big on
right.
learning.
Right.
Like, I will probably forever be a life learner. I'm big on that. But if I see something, I want to learn something new, I'm going to figure out and go through all of the details to figure out how I can do this. It's going to take up my time. It's going to take up money. It's going to take up a whole lot of different stuff. So I have to not be selfish in my own right,
right.
to want to learn something, to want to be able to produce a different or another income or income revenue stream.
Thank you.
That's what I'm trying to say. I have to make sure that I'm coming to the forefront to say, hey, babes, I really want to do this. I really want to do that. You know, let's talk about it. Let's hash it out. And he's like my great voice of reason. Sometimes it's he'll ask those questions that I may not want to answer or that I may not want to be asked. But he will. Okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. What's this? What's that? Did you consider this? Did you consider that? And then a lot of times I may not be able to pursue that opportunity because, as we've talked about it, it doesn't align with the vision for the house.
Right. Right.
So I can't be selfish in my own ambition to say, well, I'm going to go and do it anyway. Like, who are you to say?
Right.
Because then it takes me outside of that alignment that God would have me to be structured into.
Exactly.
And then it takes me also out of the role. So when you look back at that, we did that a couple of months ago. So look into that. So when you're being selfish, you just want to make sure that you are being aligned with, number one, the vision for the house.
Right.
Talk it over with your spouse. It's not that you can't always do it. It's just not in this moment. It's not the best time.
Right. It's not the in this moment is not the best time. Because you understand, you're still your own individual. It's just that now you're one. Because I don't know about you. Like with us, I understand our oneness because she is literally strong in the areas that I'm weak. And guess what? I am literally strong in the areas that she's weak.
Right.
So now we're making that one. That's as the scripture says, and the two shall become one.
Yeah.
And so in that, you still have your own quote unquote desires. But do you know that even your spouse, if we can be selfless more than selfish, do you know even your spouse can even enjoy in the things that you're doing? Because some things, it can go down just the simple fact of you stop and got something to eat and and you get home and like, wait a minute, y'all ain't eat? Well, it's just for the moment I did not consider my wife to see if she's eating. I could have picked up the phone, sent her a text, hey, I'm going to grab a bite. Have you eaten? Do you want something? Or have you cooked? You know what I'm saying? And so it's like you have to know who your spouse is. That's why you have got to take having those moments of communication. And so when you're talking about, you know, when you're newly married, yeah, you got to begin that thing conversating, because the thing, you may not have lived with your spouse. And, you know, now it's like, okay, now that you're married, now you're finna learn an entire person. Why? Because now you're with them literally 24 hours every day. So now both of you all are now learning. And so that's why it's very important that, one, you know what your love language is. Because if you take the time to know what your spouse's love language, and take the time to even know what your love language is, because now you don't want your spouse to be walking around with an empty love tank. Because when you allow your spouse to walk around with an empty love tank, then you have not been paying attention, because you've been paying more attention to yourself versus paying attention to her. So if you pay her or him, but if you pay attention to your spouse, guess what? It'll spark a conversation. Before I even read the book, the five love languages, I took a moment, I remember, and asking her, hey, how do you feel about this? Or how does this make you feel? You know, what are these certain things that you like? So I began to know that she liked acts of service. It's going to be funny because I'm going to bring something out to you that made me laugh. But, and so here I am. I'm cleaning the house, boom, because once I'm done, I'm out. Like when I first got my bike, I ain't having a lot of issues because I clean and I'm gone. You know, I can go ride all day. I just had to check in maybe, I think it was like every 3 hours.
Because, just so that I could make sure he was safe.
Because I had an accident
right,
one time.
He had an accident. So it's not just so I can know or keep tabs. It's just so that I can make sure that he's safe. And then there are times where he's riding with a new group of people. Well, everybody doesn't ride the same. Some people ride dirty. And I just want to make sure that if he's out with this new group of people, that he's good.
And we're gonna be rolling, huh, down there. Get at me. Boom. And so, and that's the thing, because I knew her love language. But then check this out. It hit a moment where it began to change, where I didn't know if her love language was acts of service or quality time. And so I was like, wait a minute, because now, here I am, I done cleaned the house, because I'm ready to go ride. Now you get mad at my bike. It's you and that stupid bike. I'm sorry, because I just put my Trans Am in the shop. That's going to be coming out soon, too. Tops down, you hear me? So, but I just love my toys. So, And then it came down. So now I'm like, yo, what is the problem? What is going on? But because now I had it put together on my, I knew that at that time her love language was quality time. So then I was able to be selfish because now all I know is that, I mean, her love language at that time was acts of service. So my selfish, I would get up early in the morning, start cleaning, and I'm gone. Just those things that we had agreed on that, you know, that I clean, and I'm gone. Even I might take it a bit further if I know I might be out for a long time. I might go ahead and clean the whole house so she ain't got to worry about it, and I'm gone. Because now, in my mind, I just got to go. I got to go. It's riding time. It's going to be a nice day. We're supposed to ride to Philly to get some cheese steaks. Listen, so now this is how my selfish acts came into play until I began, when things began to change, when I started getting attitudes, when I noticed that her love tank was actually empty now.
Right. No, that's good.
Oh.
That's good. And for those who are watching too, they also have a app. It's the Love Nudge.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard of that, it's Love Nudge. And that's, again, by Gary Chapman, 5 Languages of Love. So that way he'll give you and offer different resources and different ways if you don't know how to communicate. Say you don't know how to speak your spouse's love language. He offers some resources and information that you can have right there on your phone to be able to do that so that you can keep things running smoothly. And the love tanks on both sides can be filled because you can also invite your spouse to join. If you create one, you can invite your spouse to join after they've taken the test. And then that way you both keep each other's love tank filled.
Right. And that is so key. In order to keep your love alive, you have to be selfless. And so when you look at it, I want to say, I think it's Matthew 19, verse 22, when Jesus was talking to the young man, when Jesus told him, now that you're perfect, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, And that 22nd verse, he says, he couldn't do those things. Where am I? Oh, and he says, okay. He says, but when the young man heard the sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. So he went away sorrowful. He wanted to follow Christ, but he couldn't because Christ said, sell all that you have and follow me. But when you also look at this, what made him different from Peter when Peter left a thriving business to follow Christ? And so it's the same thing. What are you also willing to let go of so that you can be one with your spouse?
Right.
You have, because there's some things that you may have to let go of. I even cut back on, you know, like, you know, it rained a lot last year. So I use that to the best of my ability. Baby, let's go out. You know what I'm saying? Because once I understood, I understand, it wasn't last year. No, it was this year, early part this year. When I understood as far as where her love language turned to quality time, she was just in the office working. And I just came in the office, sat down, and I started working too. And she had more joy with us working hard, but it was just for the mere fact that my presence was in the room. And so we have to be selfless to that fact of saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to sit aside this time because I know what my wife likes. And boom, that's what we're going to do.
And then it works vice versa. And we just had a question online. Thanks, Margo, so much for the question. She says, do you think that your love language changes as you get older? And then how often do you reevaluate? So wow. I think that...
I love questions.
Right. So I think that it does change, Margo, as you get older. And not just because it's because you're getting older, it's because you change, you mature, life happens. And so even as your marriage goes through changes and your marriage goes through seasons.
Liquid love.
And so as your marriage is going through seasons, it's because one of the two of you or the both of you are changing in some type of way.
Right.
And so as that's changing, then your love language could also change. Right. So it's really important to reevaluate that. I'm not sure that I would say annually, just because I notice that a seasonal change typically happens every 5 or 10 years, but maybe take it every 2 years. Take the test again just to reevaluate, just to notice notice that something is changing, or if you notice that you're not connecting or communicating or speaking each other's language as much, then at that moment, go and evaluate. Just because my love language has been the same for...
It just changed.
Stop playing. It just changed. But what I'm saying is it's been the same since...
I know about 5 years.
For at least 5 years.
Yeah, it's been about 5 years.
And Eric's hasn't changed.
I'm still the same, Slim. You know what I'm saying? It's all so 20.
It kind of depends on, how often you see the change or you understand or notice the change. But it absolutely changes because you change as a person.
Right.
Your marriage changes. So as one of you or the both of you are changing, you're getting ready to go through that change in your season. So it's really important to understand that and to know that so that you don't think, oh, Lord, I'm going crazy. Right. Or, oh, I'm the only person going through this. No, everybody goes through a change in seasons in their marriage because you're changing.
And
you as a person, you as a human, you as a woman, you as a man, like you're changing.
Right. So even, you know how it is. You're changing because, once that Coca-Cola bottle, it became a 3-liter, you had to change with it. Because the thing is, if you...
Why do you use that?
I'm just... Look at me. I am in my first trimester. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't have the rock hard abs like I once had. I don't have that anymore. But I'm trying to get it back. I'm trying my best to get it back. So
you are insane.
But you have those times.
Pastor JD said the second trimester.
but you have those times when you're changing. But it's like this. Do my love lock up because now that the body is changing? Because now this is the thing. So say my thing might have been quality time, but because now I look in the mirror, I don't look as fly as I used to. So now words of affirmation is now my love language. So you have to continue to keep your line of communication open, and you have to also observe your spouse. Because listen, it's been a few times when I say, listen, oh, I think it started out with some kind of soda. Then like 5 years ago, no, might have been a little, maybe 7 years ago, it changed to a cherry Coke. And so I was like, oh, so you like those now? Got you. And you got to learn to observe and then take mental notes of what your spouse is now changing to. Because you got to remember, if you're going to keep that flowing love of water liquefied, I ain't trying to, but if you keep that love flowing, it's going to flow into every change that your spouse take place.
Right.
But often one thing that I have noticed that things, when you allow your love to begin to harden up, then it can't flow into the next change, or it can't flow into the next season, because now when it hardens up, you're now in the winter of your season. The winter season of your marriage.
And then, too, it's important to not just always or necessarily the body structure, but also mentally. Like, you mature and you just have less tolerance for certain things. So think about that. And then even with the women, as you get older in age, you have to consider going into the menopause. That's a whole different ball game. So understanding just the difference. And then even the men, I think they hit the mid-crisis. The midlife crisis a lot harder than the women ever do. Like, I remember when Eric, and I think he did his early. I remember when Eric went through his, what in the heck? Like, what happened? It was like all of a sudden he was wanting to be this reckless person and he wanted to go out and ride and he was thinking that he wasn't handsome and he wanted to get this leather jacket and he wanted to have a different hairstyle.
No, you see my hairstyle now.
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, but see, and it was so funny because, I mean, I didn't know if it was a midlife crisis because I bought a bike and then I turned around and bought a fast car. And even a friend of mine was like, dude, what you going through, a midlife crisis? I don't know, I just had to need the speed. But it was like that moment. And to where it's like, wow, now as you sit back and try to figure this thing out, now it's not who are you, but it's just like, now what are we changing to?
Right. And even as you go through, say you lose, you or your spouse lose a loved one. that's something that's even different.
Right.
And so as they're going through the grieving process, understanding how to make that, like, how to flow with that particular change, it's like, how do we do that?
Right.
How do we do that? Like, what is that?
Right. And so that's the thing that we have to make sure that we understand is when we are changing, that we gotta kind of, cause for one, you'll know when your taste bud changed for something else. So it's like, you know, it got to a point where I was like, okay, nah, babe, I really don't like that right there. You know what I'm saying? And
wish you would have told me that before I started cooking it.
Hey, right. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go get something else to eat. But it's those moments where you got to, one, continue to be true to yourself so that you can also be true to your spouse. Because the thing is, if you can't share how you are really feeling with your spouse, then who are you going to be sharing it with?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? My thing, I'd rather my spouse know everything that's going on with me and vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Amen.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. And so you have to understand. And so in those times or in those moments that you can't be selfish, because when you're being selfish, you're only looking at the things that you want.
Right.
So, without even considering your spouse.
Right. And that's just a road down a disaster. Like it really is. I don't care how you try to shape it, frame it, form it, whatever it is. It's just, it's a road to disaster. If you try to move and operate when you are to become one.
Right.
And you try to operate in selfishness.
Right. And understand that's, if you're able to master that one, please let us know, please. Cause they're, it is just like, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm telling you, but the one thing about it, though, when you're being selfless, man, you're being humble.
Yeah.
And as how can, for, you know, I'm just going to say men, just looking at the order of God. But when you are being humble, you know, it's you are able to teach your spouse humility. Because you set the example. Is it saying that every day is going to be peaches and cream? No, because if every day was peaches and cream, then my question is, how will you grow? If all you know is just peaches and cream, because remember, if we didn't know what a rainy day looked like, then how will we know how good the sun is when it shines? You understand what I'm saying? If we never went through a brutal cold month, then how will we know what the nice summer months feel like?
Right.
So even understanding, you know, your marriage is going to go through its season. But you got to understand that a lot of times that your seasons that your marriage go through is just like when you look at summer. Summer is that time everybody's just having a ball, enjoying. Yeah. But then when your summer begins to now go into another season of fall, what happens in fall? Things that was once green are now starting to fall off. Because, yeah, your marriage might be going through a wintertime. And you, just think about how you feel in the wintertime. A lot of us are groggy and all that stuff. Yes, your marriages go through that. But it's the one thing that I love is that, you know, like when it get like real cold, you know how like the top layer of the water is of water is frozen, but you still have a steady flow underneath it. So if you can continue to keep your love as that steady flow that's deep below the ice piece, then you're going to make it through the winter. When we lived in Alaska, they hit the season that was called breakup. That means that was when the ice was literally breaking up and, you know, turning into water and, you know, began to flow and do its own thing. You know how water do. And so when you look at that, now that breakup that's in your marriage is not you separating, it's you breaking off the old way and making room for your spring, because your spring is your new. And so you have to understand, and what takes place in spring is that's when you begin to recognize your growth. Because just because things might be frozen at the moment, God is still working things right there underneath. So that's why you have to make sure you keep your water that flows, your liquid love flowing. not just that stuff that's on the top portion, but you keep it flowing so that because God is gonna do so, you just got to make it to your spring. Because when you make it to your spring, God is gonna show you the newness, and then you're gonna also recognize even the closeness that you all have just gotten.
Right, and that was really, really good. I was just gonna add that if you think about selfishness, at the root of selfishness is pride. So if you think about, I'm just thinking about just in a daily marriage and in a daily relationship and a daily walk that you're having with your spouse, your partner, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, fiance, however you want to, you know, communicate it or name it. If you think about that in a sense of you're having a disagreement, you're having a disagreement because you don't agree with what was said or what was done, but it boils over into then the argument because self and interjects and sets itself up and it says, no, I'm right. Mm. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. So then that's the pride the pride in each individual. So if you can stop in any moment, and I know sometimes it's really hard in the height of the moment,
right?
But if you can stop in any moment and just like, you know what? I'm good. I'm sorry. Maybe I don't agree with that for right now. But let's just squash it just because we're making it into a situation where it really doesn't have to be that.
Right.
And if you think about it in that particular sense, like I said, it's pride. And how do you kill or dismiss pride? With love, with kindness, with gentleness.
Right.
With humbleness. And that's not to say that you should always be the doormat, does door still. I remember at one point in our marriage, I kept saying, I'm sick of always taking the high road. I don't want to do the high road. I want to be right. I know I'm right. But at what point was I to say, okay, God, I know I'm right. But do I have to continue to go forth and make this argument of what it is just to prove that I'm right? Is it really worth that?
Right. Is it really worth that? And so, yes, that's the thing, because when you're being selfish, you're actually only looking at it one side. So then, and the thing is, when you come to your time of disagreement, guess what? It's okay to disagree.
It so is, yes.
You don't have to be right, because, I mean, granted, even if she can say, baby, listen, if you put that over there, it's not going to work. It's going to fall over. And I'm like, no, I do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be right. Well, no, it's not. Why go through all that and then just be like, you know what? You got it. So then it come out. So if it stand up straight, I'm going to be like, see, look, I told you. It's fine. And then the wind blow and it falls over. Then like, see, I told you. I said, okay, got you. Why? Because now I understand that it wasn't sturdy. And so you have to understand that if you cannot swallow your pride, because you can still keep what your view is, but if you cannot swallow your pride, then it begin to go into something else. Understand, the scripture tells us that pride comes before destruction and a hearty spirit before a fall. And so you have to understand, what are you trying to, are you trying to destroy? Because once you destroy, everything is going to collapse.
Right.
Pride comes before destruction and a hearty spirit before a fall. And so it's the same thing, but it's like, well, okay, fine. So we're going back and forth. The same thing, the scripture tells us that what? A kind word turns away wrath.
Yep.
So I remember one time when we was going at it years ago, I just hit her with, and she's like, Eric, you are blah, blah, blah. And I said, God, dog, you are so pretty.
Yes, he did.
And totally blew it. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to say.
Yes, he did.
Because it turned away the wrath that she was bringing.
Right, right.
And so sometimes we have to set that example. And it was so funny because I was mad one day. And I was talking to my daughter. You know, I was a little strong. She came up to me and she says, Daddy, you're so pretty. I say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why? Because his word is so true. It turns away wrath. And then when you turn away wrath, sometimes, you know, yeah, you want to go back to it. But now you got to come back to it with something different. Come with a solution.
Right.
That's reasoning. Because, okay, hey, you see it your way, I see it my way, but we have to make a decision. So now this is where we reason at. It's right. Okay to reason with one another.
So the situation with my son's car, we were able to reason. So after he went through and he got, you know, everything taken care of with the car, he called and he got the answers that he was looking for. He called me back. He gave me the information. I still didn't think that it was valuable because in my mind, I knew what we were going to be doing. So we
hold up, wait a minute. Did you hear what
I knew?
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So it was in my selfishness. Absolutely. So it was in my selfishness. I knew what we were going to be doing. But then after we sat down and we started talking, he gave me some insight that I would have never, ever considered before as we were talking about why he wanted that information and why it was important to him. So it was really important for me to then step away from my own selfishness, for me to get out of my own pride, for me to step aside and say, okay, you know what? Like, he always did with the cars. Why am I even upset because I decided? Well, no. I think you asked EJ. That's what happened. He asked EJ
my son how to be a man.
To do it. And EJ started talking and he was getting a little frustrated with trying to take care of the business with his car. And he just put me on the speakerphone. So then I started to ask the right questions that he wasn't able to ask. So that was how I, you know, got into the situation. And after I talked to the mechanic, I knew at that moment what I wanted to be able to do. And so after I stepped aside and got out of the selfishness, we did decide to come together and make an end reason together so that we could have one solid agreement on what we were going to do with the vehicle.
Right. And so, but again, it will take that. You have to take the moment and be like, listen, am I going to continue to go on and allow my words to crush my spouse when I'm supposed to be the one to build up? Because understand, in our moment of selfishness, what comes right along? Understand, selfishness don't come, but it don't, to me, I come to understand that it does not come by itself. It's gonna come with frustration. Yep. Then frustration gonna bring anger with it, and then anger gonna bring hatred with it. So it's like, how far are we gonna allow this chain to go? So it's just like, okay, listen. Once I begin to feel frustrated, I just said, you know what? It's cool. It's fine. It's whatever. So then once I had my woosah moment, and she had her woosah moment, it was like, help me to understand. Okay. So now this is why, boom, 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 boom. Then it was like, you know what? You're right. Because I even said while we on the phone, I had said, I'm just taking this is what we call shots, because I'm taking a shot right now. So when we was on the phone, I said, you don't even handle the cars. Why won't you do this? So, but now it's like, oh, okay, babe, I got you. And so oftentimes, man, when you sometimes we can even allow our gifts to run interference because she has such a gift of administration and health. It's like, yo, I got to go. I got to make it happen. I got you.
Make it work.
But this ain't your area of expertise.
Right.
So sometimes we got to also know how to pull the reins back and say, okay, God, you gave me someone that can handle this, so I'm going to go ahead and let them handle it.
Right.
You understand what Absolutely. I'm saying? And so that's that thing that when you're talking about being selfish, remember, even as we go from, you know, from this day and moving forward with you, think about where am I selfish at with my spouse? And how can I even better that to even better our marriage? Right. You know, I'm be like, you know, for me, dealing with wifey like going to these exotic beaches and stuff.
I love it.
Me, I'm fine with just, you know, going down to the to the local hotel and chilling. You know what I'm saying? That's me. But so it's like, okay, these are the things you like, fine. Then I can enjoy these moments. And just like how at first she didn't like, you know, riding on the bike. Now it's like, okay, she set aside her fear and like now she jumped on the bike. And it's fine because when you sit yourself aside, you may come to recognize that you might even enjoy even what your differences might even be.
Right. That's really good. So just remember that, like, nothing good comes of pride. Pride cometh before only contention. And with the well-advised is wisdom. So always, if you can just set aside, if just one of you, if not both of you, at least one of you can set aside just a moment to really think about, okay, we're good. Let's go ahead. You're right in this moment. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this later so you can actually reason about it. Then that way you can come together on common ground. And again, just let it be fruitful, because one simple thing can boil into something humongous that it doesn't really have to be as a result of pride and you being selfish.
Right.
So just always remember, as we're one, we should come together with love, and a kind word turns away that wrath.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
It really does. And so understand, the songwriter say, if you think that your spouse is selfish all the time, then understand this. Songwriter wrote a song. He said, the change you want to see must first begin in me. I surrender. So if you're going to surrender unto God, then you be the change.
Right.
And how can you be the change? Remember, it only takes one person to set the example. And so it does not matter how long you have to set that example. It's just that that change has to start with you. And so if you're saying that I want to better my marriage, and I'm grateful for, you know, everyone that is on and taking notes or what have you, but it's just an encouragement to let you know, your marriage, because understand this, your marriage is going to be what you make it. If you make it a hellhole, that's what it's going to be.
Right.
But if you're going to make it a day, a time of joy and fun, then guess what? That's what it's going to be. But, you know, it's not saying that we did not have our differences, but one thing I can guarantee you this, one thing's for sure and two for certain, is that my glory days are my joyous days. Sure enough, outweigh all of our bads. And we started out with some rough ones, you hear me?
Yes.
But it's in a joy. Why? Because now we understand, and then we also, one, we understand one another, and then we're still constantly still learning one another. Because the thing is, now you don't want your marriage to get a little stale. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep that fire in that thing. You hear me?
Right. You hear that, Coach D? I know you're getting ready to get started, but keep the fire burning. Don't let anything stop that fire from burning.
Keep that fire burning. And so that's that thing, because I one time she said to me, she says, babe, you know, you never cease to amaze me.
Yeah.
That right there tells me, oh yeah, we keeping that fire going. And so she saw a bodybuilder and they had some big arms. I said, well, my arms used to be big. So I had to slim down this keg, and I had to get back in the weight room. You hear me? So, but you know, for us, it was just all in fun. And so, you know, it's a joy, because, you know, I need it. I want to be healthy. You know, I want to see my daughter graduate college or something. So, but it's those things that when you say, hey, I'm gonna sit aside this time so that I'm gonna sit aside my desire so that I can, you know, see what you're saying, or I'm gonna sit aside what I believe so that I can understand what you're saying. Because, you know, if you don't sit your selfishness aside, it's gonna even be hard for you to even fathom what the other person is even saying.
Right. And then another thing, it boils over into the children as well.
Oh yeah.
It's a learned behavior. So always remember that your example and how you love your spouse, the children are learning and watching the same thing.
Yes, that they are.
Yeah.
And so if you have any questions, we truly thank God, because I noticed that it's coming down to our hour. We sure enough thank God for you all tuning in. We do apologize in the early, because
right, for all the technical.
Oh, my God. We had so much technical stuff going on. I'm thinking everything was set right. But, hey, it is what it is. We thank God for truly having this way on this evening. So, but please, you know, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, you know, hey, shoot us on the email. Go ahead, do all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, shoot us on the email, and then or inbox us. We also have a podcast, Marriage Takeover. So on your Apple phones, or for all of you joysters that are out there, you can follow us on the Apple Podcast, or the podcast app, or your Droid device. It's Marriage Takeover. So be sure to follow us there for all of our previous episodes. And we thank you all so much for following with us, connecting with us. We want to absolutely thank When Christians Speak, Blog Talk Radio, Reverend Ray Rose for, again, having the platform for us, everybody watching on YouTube, everybody watching on Facebook. Like, thank you guys so much. It is such an honor to be able to share what we've experienced, what we've learned, and just kind of how God is just dealing with us with being able to help build marriages and relationships. So we love you guys. We thank you guys for watching and tuning in. And we'll just pray out. So, Lord, for every couple that has watched us thus far, who will watch us, Lord, in the future, I just ask that you would continue to bless them, that you would watch over their families, that you would watch over their relationships, Lord, that you would even help them to understand their own selfishness, God, that they not be so quick to point out somebody else's selfishness, Lord, but they would continue, Lord, to just work on them, God, show them, develop that relationship to nurture, to get personal with you, Lord, that you would continue to just have your way. Build them up, Lord, strengthen them, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would mend any hurt, Lord, that you would make them whole in the name of Jesus, that you would have your way, God, in their lives. Lord, that you would pour your oil out over them, their families, their children, God, their relationships, the people that are connected to them. Lord, allow their relationships, their marriages to be a blessing to others, to be an example to others of what you would have and have designed for marriage to be, Lord. We thank you, God, for the couples that are engaged, the couples that are married, the couples that are even divorced, the couples that are remarried. God, we thank you for the relationships. We thank you for your example. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for your joy. We thank you for your deliverance. And we just ask, God, that you would seal the marriages, the relationships in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God, in our lives, Lord. Be used, God. Be that instrument. Use us, God, as your instrument, God. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we do pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We love you guys. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.
You okay?
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover.